still and know that I am God. So I'm going to speak on that topic today as well, just to sort of do a bit of a wrap. We can find ourselves in a world at the moment where it can be quite chaotic in what we take on in our lives, whether it be through the work that we do, whether it be through the school, relationships, what finances that we find ourselves in, what's going on in the world at the moment, Russia invading Ukraine, China making threats against Taiwan, all sorts of different things. And there can be a lot of chaos in our life. And that's just the bigger world things. And then you've just got your normal, you know, your day-to-day stuff that fills in your head as to what do I need to do today? And all these different things that come up. And sometimes they go right and sometimes they go wrong. And your head begins to fill with all these different things that you've got going on. And you start to think forward as to, well, if that happens, then what does that mean? And what will that entail? And oh my goodness, where am I going? What's happening? And it can lead us down a path that can quite often not be a great one. Pastor Roland from Ballarat spoke about it last week with anxiety and what an implication that can have upon your life and is having upon the lives of so many Australians at the moment. And we're not immune to that. We can find ourselves in those same circumstances. I often try to my process. I get up quite early. I start my day with a list going, this is what I need to get done today. And as I've expressed previously, I love lists because I can go like this, poof, done, oh, feels good. But it fills my head with all these different things that I've got to do and I've got to take on and I've got to be responsible for and all these things that, you know, and if you don't get through the list, then they just pile up. And it can pile up in here. It can become quite negative. I've recently started going through and rather than a to-do list for the day, I've started a delegation list. Not to other people, to God. And I've gone, God, this one is on my mind and I've had enough of it and I've got a delegate. It's on my phone. And I've got a list of things that I've created on there that, God, this is yours because I don't want this anymore. I don't want this in my head. I don't want it taking it up and cluttering up my head because it comes confusing when things don't go the way that I suspect or thought that they would have or, you know, why is it taking so long and what can I do about it and how do I achieve these different things that I want to do and how do I get through these things? And it can become overwhelming. I was looking back through my list and all the different ones that I've just ticked off. Sorry, I did not tick. I ticked them off. God did them. And it's been so great. I've just gone on there and gone, I was so stressed about that. And then I got through and gone, oh, God's handled that one. Tick. Good. And I'll get through. Oh, he's got that one as well. Awesome. Tick. I like ticks and crosses through, just so you know. But it feels so good. It's Michelle's book. It is similar to that in that it is something that you can look back and go, God has got this. And he has done these for me. I haven't had to be the one to be able to go in there and try and do these things and get these things done and worry and concern myself about them. God has looked after them. And that's exactly the way that he's designed it to work. Through history, though, we have struggled with that. What I'm going to do today is walk you through the fact that this, be still and know that I am God. Just knowing that I can trust him. I know who he is. I know the love and desire and passion that he has for me as his child. And I trust him and I know that I can hand these things over to him. And I know that he will take care of me because he is that loving father in my life. I want to walk you through the fact that be still and know that I am God. It is a scripture in Psalms. But it is the way that God has asked us to be with him over thousands of years now. I'm going to walk you through an example with Moses back in approximately 1450 BC. As an example in Psalms from about 1000 BC, for Isaiah in 700 BC, and then we're going to look at an example with Jesus, obviously around 30 to 35 BC, AD. But this is the way that God would have us to live, to be able to surrender and hand over those concerns, those trials and tribulations that we find in our life and hand them on to God. Between the choruses and Penny, I was wondering, what am I getting up here for? Penny's pretty much covered it, which has been great. But Penny was sharing the example about where, you know, there's just different things that come along in life and things that go well as you expect and things that don't go the way you'd want them to. And that's life. We're not here and we don't live perfect lives. God hasn't promised us a perfect life. But what he has promised is that he will be there for us throughout. And then when we are willing to hand over our trials and tribulations that we come up against, when we are willing to pass on those things rather than having them clutter up our own minds, that we can find that stillness in our life to be focused on him and what he has brought us into, as opposed to the chaos that often fills our heads. I'm going to get you to turn to Exodus 14. We're going to briefly look here at Moses and the children of Israel. As is the way of the children of Israel, there'll be some amazing things happen in their lives that God has done for them, some amazing miracles that happen. But they quickly forget and they quickly fall down into what's going to go on here. Bad things are going to happen. There's uncertainty in my life. I don't know what's going to go on. God has left us. And that's a pattern, I guess, that has formed throughout particularly the Old Testament. And, you know, it flows on, and I'll say, in our own lives as well, where we'll have different things that happen in our lives and different miracles that we see and testimonies that we hear. But at times we still fail to really grab hold of the fact that that is God that we can rely upon and trust upon regardless of what comes upon us in our lives. And we can know that he is going to be there for us at all times. In this example, Exodus 14, so God had gone through and he afflicted the Egyptians with all the different plagues. He's as part of that, the last one, the firstborn throughout Egypt had been killed, and the Pharaoh had agreed, okay, do you know what? The Israelites can go. And Moses had led them out of Egypt. And when he had led them through, and I'm going to paraphrase through chapter 14, he had led them through, but the people thought, Moses has made a blunder here. He's mucked this up. He's led us out of Egypt, and he's led us right up to the sea. And now there's nowhere to go. And he's led the people into a valley towards the sea. So they had the sea at the front of them, the mountains on both sides, and there was no way to go back. The Pharaoh was aware of their location, and he's changed his mind. He said, no, we're going to go out and we're going to get these Israelites back. He said, I've made a mistake here. I need them back. I need them back. So he's ordered his army to close off the valley, and they were trapped. And the men of Israel have seen what have happened, and then they've lost confidence in Moses. There was nowhere to turn, so they turned on Moses. Why did you lead us here? We'd be better off back in Egypt as slaves. You've led us to a place, from a place where there was no graves, just to bury us out here. And they absolutely lost confidence in him. Said, what, we're better off just working for the Egyptians. And so they thought that Moses had made a great mistake in what he had done, and that they are now trapped by the Egyptians. What they failed to understand was this was actually a plan that God had brought them into. If we look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 14, and it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pirhoth, between Migdol and the sea, and over against Baal-Zephon, before it ye shall encamp by the sea. He's told them to go there because that's where he wants them to go. This wasn't a mistake that Moses had made and where he'd gone. He was following God's directions exactly. And there were directions for when Israel looked upon it, they went, no, this is wrong. This is a mistake. This is obviously not going to go well. They allowed that to churn over in their mind as to things have gone wrong. You know, I thought that God was on our side, but he's obviously not. He's left us here trapped. He's left us in a place where we don't seem to be able to bring ourselves out of. And they looked upon Moses and they looked upon themselves as men, as humans, and they couldn't work out how they were going to overcome the situation. They'd just come from a situation where there were some the most amazing miracles that happened, but pretty quickly they forgot what God had done for them. That can happen to us too. And we've got to be wary of that. God wanted to demonstrate to them his mighty power. He wanted to be able to show them. He wanted to be able to teach them a lesson. If God be for us, then who can be against us? And that God can make a way when there seems to be absolutely no way. And then when things get dark, when things don't seem to be going the way that we expect them to be, when we seem trapped, when we seem in a place where I can't see where on earth this is going to go, that God will be there for us as he has always been, as he has always promised to be. Moses' advice for the people, I'll get you to turn to verse 13. It was, fear not. And I assume they thought, oh, good, Moses has got a plan. Stand still. Oh, he's crazy. What's he going to do? We're going to stand still and just wait here for the people to be able to come up against him. He said unto the people, fear ye not and stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. These were words of absolute faith by Moses, because to that point, God had not told him what he was actually going to do. He had given him no direction as to this is the way you are going to get out of this. He simply told him that he would deliver them from this situation. And that was enough for Moses. That was enough for Moses to stand up in front of his people and go, fear not, stand still, and watch what God is going to do in these circumstances. As we know, God made a path through the sea, and he was to be able to deliver them in such a mighty way and such an unexpected way. And he did it for his glory. He wanted his people to understand, this is what I am capable of. This is what I can do for you. This is what I promised to be able to bring you out of captivity, and I'm not going to forego on that promise. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to deliver you. And that's the same promise that he makes to us today. Regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, he will deliver us from there, because that is what he has promised to do. Regardless of the fact that we might see ourselves in situations, in relationship situations, in financial situations, in work situations, whatever they might be, and just think, oh, what, how? What, how is this going to work? How am I going to be able to get myself out of this? And your first and best thing to be able to recognize is you're not. If you've got yourself to the point where you go, I can't do this, that's great. You put a tick next to yourself. Because that's the most important part for you to be able to get to recognize that you actually aren't the one who's going to get yourself out of these circumstances, and God is. That we bring ourselves to a circumstances where we surrender that control that we sometimes want over our lives. Are there any other control freaks in the room? Thank you, Lorna. Sorry to call you out by name just then. Sorry about that, Lorna. And I just assume the other control freaks don't want to be told to be taught, put up their hands. They feel, no, I'll do that when I'm ready. But sometimes, you know, you just, I need to have my hand upon that. I need to make sure that that just goes the way I want. I need to. And what you're really missing is the fact that you're not the best person to have control over your life and circumstances. Let me think. There's you, or there's the almighty, all-powerful creator of the universe. I don't know. Pick which one you'd like to make your life decisions for you. It shouldn't be a hard decision. But we do find ourselves in those circumstances quite regularly where it's us who tries to make those decisions on which way I go, as opposed to just handing that on. In Psalm 46, I am going to get you to turn there. All right. Psalm 46, verse 10, and we've sung it already, but I'm going to read it out. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I'm going to read the entire chapter. My apologies. Psalm 46 from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So a little bit of background. Psalm 46 is a song of praise to God for the protection that he provided for against Jerusalem's enemies. It exalts God as a refuge and a strength and ever-present in times of trouble. It's likely that the psalm was penned after God had protected and rescued Jerusalem from one of their great threats. There's no specific thing that it says, but it's more than likely that's when it's been penned after. God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of the host is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In that verse 10, be still. In English, typically that would be referred to as like be silent, where you utter no sound, you're quiet, or you're motionless. In Hebrew, it's more of to let go, to stop striving, to slacken your grip, to let it drop, to surrender control. It's that picture of just letting go of those things that you hang on to dearly in your life, that you want them to be just this particular way and go this particular path. When you let that go and recognize it's, while I am trying to control my life, it's not always going to hit in the path that God has for me. When God commands us to be still and know that he is God, he's commanding us to release control of the situation, to let it go, to surrender what we have. Isaiah 40, verse 27. This is an example. This is another example. What is this? This is about 700 BC. The Israelites who first received this promise, they were worn out from their hardship. They lived in exile in Babylon for several decades. Their perspective was really darkened by the sort of the despairing thoughts that they had. They thought that God couldn't help them or was choosing not to help them. They were exhausted, now burdened from their circumstances in life. They weren't just weak in body, but they were weak in spirit. And they were questioning how long they could endure these hard circumstances in life any longer. Has anyone ever found themselves there? I just thought, there's too much going on in my life. I don't know if I can handle that, the circumstances that continue to go on, and just where is there light at the end of the tunnel? I'm assuming that there may be a time when in past where you may have experienced that. Isaiah responded to these questions that the Israelites had with questions of his own. We'll start in verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is he worried. Sorry, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 31 there is such a great promise of strength for the weary. It's a supernatural renewal of strength. It says there that even the young men shall utterly fall. It doesn't matter who you are or what stage of your life you're in. He's saying there, no, there will always come a time where you will not be enough to be able to handle it yourself, and that you need to look to God for your answers. That he would give us a strength. The Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise for us when we hand over our trials and our tribulations to God, and we don't try and work them out ourselves. The longer that we spend trying to work them out ourselves, and the amount of time that clutters up in our own mind, the less time that we have to devote to what God would really have us devoted to, which is his word and the proclamation of his word to others. God's greatness is not just that he is strong and can take these on, but that he is strong for us. It's not about just how strong he is and what he can do, but it's about the fact that he is willing to do it for us. That's the incredible thing as all part of this. It's incredible that he's created what he has created and what he is able to do. I read there before about the earth moving and about him being able to melt it, and that there's incredible strength behind that. But the real power for us is that he's looking to have that direct relationship with us, just as we heard in the testimonies there today, that he's looking to have a direct relationship with us, with each and every individual here today. That's the strength that we have, that we can take and we can rely upon. Where it says there, they that wait upon the Lord. In the Hebrew, wait carries with a sense of hopeful expectation. Those who expect, those that look for, and those that hope in him. That when they look out, when they look forward, they go, I know my God has got this. For those people there, for the Israelites in that circumstances there, they had lost that vision as to what their God had previously done for them and what he could do for them. They no longer lived with hope. All they could see was what they might be able to do under their own strength, or the fact that God had left them completely. In Moses' example, the people looked around and gone, God's left us. He's walked us into a trap. That's because, my opinion for that, they didn't have the relationship or know who God, what they were to God, and how much he treasured them and how much he wanted to look after them and care for them, that he would never bring them into those circumstances. And it's the same for us. We can question at times as to why our life is where it is at a particular point in time, and why God has not answered those prayers, and why God would bring me into these circumstances. We can never doubt who he sees us as is his wonderful and loving daughters, sons and daughters, and that he cares for us and as a father would his children. Jesus said, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He carried the burden of sin and judgment upon himself on the cross. And we're going to go through that as part of communion today. But he rose again, and he sent his spirit to empower us and to strengthen us in all our weaknesses. A couple of things that I want to leave you with to be able to action points to be able to take out of it. We're here, be still and know that I am God. And we started off today by singing a song. And that's one of the action points I'll leave with you. Whenever you get the chance, sing and sing out loud. Doesn't matter if you sing like I do, but the words. I must apologize. Last Sunday, second meeting, I was on the projection and I was loving a chorus and I was singing it away. And then I got a reminder, hey, you've got to turn the page. But I was so into the song. I completely forgot about it and I left the musicians in complete disarray up there as a result. But just taking the time to take those words in. When we sang that song there before, take the words in and let them just sit and dwell on your heart. But that one in particular is straight out of the Bible, and many of them are. Worship reaffirms that God is on the throne and that he is in control, regardless of what comes upon us and what things we might face in our life. It ushers us in to the presence of God. And it's that reminder for us to be able to go, not me, my God. That's who's in control of the situation. That's who's got control of my life. Pray. When our calendars and our hearts are stilled, we have more time to pray. There's a great quote from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther, sorry. I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. That's the way. When you look at your day ahead and go, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get that done? That's the way to look at it. Do you know what? Turn to God and go, this isn't my issue, God. I'm going to pass this one on to you. Get yourself a delegation list and put God at the top as to these are things that I'm passing over. Prayer is so important for us that we have to make sure that we're constantly renewing that on a daily basis, that we're having that communion and that conversation with our God. Remember, when we're still, when our mind is peaceful, when it's not cluttered up with the chaos of life, we've got time to go back and remember those amazing miracles that God has done in our life. It's so important that we jot them down, regardless of the size of them, the smaller or the bigger, it doesn't matter. Our faith is built upon them. They become those anchor points in our life that we can go back to. When those different things come upon us and we go, no, do you know what? I remember when God did this for me, when he promised and he did this for me. I remember this circumstance and he, as a result, I was able to overcome through his power. And they don't even have to be your own. Whether they are your brothers and sisters, whatever they might be, use them as anchor points in your life to be able to go back and remember exactly what God has done for you. The children of Israel with Moses remembered the miracles that God had just done for them. They wouldn't have been questioning Moses for the reason or been saying, God has given up on us. The children of Israelites that were in exile for a number of years had forgotten what God had done for them in previous times and the promises that he had made. Don't ever find yourself in the circumstance, or if you do, take yourself back to the word of God. Go through, this is what he has told me he will do. There's two ways. We go into the word and reminded of God's character, his miracles and his provision. And then we go through what he has done for us personally and for those people around us. Because this is what he does for me. Joshua, at the end of his life, reminded Israel of God's constant faithfulness in leading them out of Egypt. In Joshua 23:14, it says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. He knew he was about to pass away. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. The last thing that he wanted to say to his people was, remember God's promises. They are for you. And he will not let you down. Give thanks, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. We need to be able to see on a daily basis what God has done for us. There's remembering what he has done and then going, my God is great. And just being thankful for the smallest and the smallest of things. It doesn't matter, whatever it is. But know that the important part is that you know that God is in control and not you. Recognize that whatever it might be, that God has had his hand in it. The fifth and final one there is to practice patience. There are times when we're going to see, I don't know what God is doing in these circumstances, but I know that he is. Patience is a wonderful thing. It doesn't happen quickly enough, but it is such a vital thing for us in our lives. In Romans 12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Two more things for you. When we're not still, when our mind isn't still, when we have it cluttered up with what goes on in our lives and we feel overwhelmed, we often find our joy can become dependent on what's happening in our lives. And as those things change and things aren't going the way we were, our joy gets robbed from us. Or we lose track of what our joy should actually be based on. I'm going to quickly share with you, and some of you may have heard it before and some may not have, but it's actually a Chinese proverb. It's about a farmer and his horse. Anyone heard that one? Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer whose horse ran away. That evening, all of his neighbours came around to commiserate. They said, we are so sorry to hear that your horse has run away. This is so unfortunate. And the farmer said, maybe. The next day, the horse came back, bringing 7 wild horses with it. And in the evening, everybody came back and said, oh, isn't this so lucky? What a great turn of events. You now have 8 horses. You're so fortunate. Maybe. The following day, his son tried to break one of the horses, and while riding it, he was thrown and he broke his leg. The neighbours then said, oh dear, this is so bad. The farmer said, maybe. The next day, the conscription officers came around to conscript people into the army, and they rejected his son because he had a broken leg. Again, all the neighbours came around and said, isn't that great? That is so good. You're so lucky. Maybe. Any time that we attach joy and what brings us joy in our life according to the circumstances that we find ourselves in, it will ebb and flow and ebb and flow and ebb and flow on a daily basis because we don't know what the circumstances are and what things are going to lead to. We don't know the things that are in our life, whether they be good or bad, exactly what they will turn out to be. But God does. And what we do know is that we can trust him in all circumstances and that he has his hand upon us and that he only wants the best for us. And so regardless of the circumstances that we come up against, we know that he is going to be there for us. And that our joy comes from Christ and from what he has done for us and not the ebbs and flows that we have in our life. The crux of this, and I guess my message this afternoon, is it comes down to your trust in God. Trust comes from knowing who he is. Knowing comes from having a direct relationship with him. And you have that opportunity today, if you don't already have that relationship with him. You can come to know him directly and receive his Holy Spirit to understand what Christ sacrificed himself for on the cross, that he rose again to be with God and left us the Comforter in the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us and to bring us back into a direct relationship with our God as we were created to be from day one. When we are still, we surrender our problems to God. And we do that. We will surrender those problems to him when we trust him, when we have faith in him, And that is built upon us remembering those promises and those miracles and everything that he has done for us previously. It is then that we can rely upon and trust upon him and knowing that he is God and in control of our lives. Amen.